So the Rambam tells us, and one of the Ikarim, one of the main tenets of Judaism, is to believe that the Torah is eternal, that the laws of the Torah weren't just given for one generation, and since it's God, he knows exactly what's going to be, and the mitzvahs, we assume, are eternal and apply. So the issue is there are different statements in the Talmud that today now that we know modern science, seems to contradict what it says in the Talmud. So the question, what do you do when you have science contradicting the Torah? So how do you deal with something? And we'll give some examples. Well, some people, it doesn't bother from either direction. They don't care what the Torah says, so whatever science says goes, and some people don't care what science says. Let's see if we could reconcile both, but we both believe in science and that the Torah is eternal, so how do we reconcile? So there's a famous statement in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuv Zayin Amabez. We know there are 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos. So we learn out from the sanctuary, from the Mishkan, and one of them is Shechita. You're not allowed to slaughter an animal on Shabbos. It's called Netilas Neshama, extinguishing a life. So killing a human being is also even during the week. Killing an animal during the week is permitted, but on Shabbos it's not. So the Gemara talks about, what about killing lice on Shabbos? So you would have thought killing lice should be prohibited. It should be in violation of Netilas Neshama. Yet the Gemara says on Kuf Zayin Amabez that one who kills lice on Shabbos, it's not chayev. It's permitted. You're permitted to. That's good for those mommies for the kids who have lice in their hair. They're very happy with that. Not that happy because they have to deal with the lice, but they're happy they could kill the lice on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. What do you mean? Why isn't it the Tilas Neshama? So the Gemara says, which means the way the Rambam interprets the Gemara many, one of the common misconceptions that we disprove today, that was believed during the time of the Talmud, was something called spontaneous generation. That there was this concept that the lice don't come, like, where is the cow from? From another cow, from a mommy. Like, people are born from a mother and animals also. But there was a concept that was widely accepted, called spontaneous generation, that let's say the lice come from schmutz, from dirt. Somehow, they're not coming from, there's no eggs or anything, they just come and somehow they multiply. So the Gemara says, since lice come about through spontaneous generation, eino pararava, as the Rambam writes, anyone who knows the ABC about anything knows about spontaneous generation. So therefore, he says, that's why you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos, because they're not considered a live animal, because only a live animal is someone that came from another egg or a mommy. Here it's coming from schmutz, from dirt, and therefore, that's why. It wasn't until the 19th century, I believe, Louis Pasteur, he came around, and he was, I guess, a definitive word disproving spontaneous generation. And today it is rejected by any mainstream scientist, and maybe even not mainstream. Everyone today, if you ask any scientist today, they all say, no, it's not true. Lice do come from eggs, and, they are pararava. So, in fact, when people were very upset, because when Louis Pasteur came out, because what are you going to do with the Rambam? The Rambam says, the ABC, everyone knows, of course there's spontaneous generation. So in fact, I think it was Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik, the Rav Shakta always like saying the story, I think he was the brother of Soloveitchik. I guess he was the black sheep. He taught science in Yeshiva University, not Gemara. And I guess at the time when, the communists, then it was communist Russia, because first of all, they don't believe in God anyway. It's a communist regime, but they as we know, if you give someone enough money, they'll be able to create a study you're looking for. So they paid off some scientists or either they didn't have to. They were in Russia, they had no option. Even better, you don't have to pay them and they have to listen to you. Whatever they did, they came out with a study saying, no, spontaneous generation is on. No, it is right. So it says, you know, people were dancing in the streets now. Like, now, okay, now the Rambam's okay. But the question, it's a joke. Like, everyone knows, number one, it wasn't a real study. Like, you know, you pay someone enough or whatever you do it. And anyway, who cares what the communists have to say? It's not going to change anything. So therefore, the question is, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? On one hand, the Gemara says, you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos because it's spontaneous generation. And today it's disproven that it's spontaneous generation. So my question is, so am I still allowed to kill lice on Shabbos? In other words, the halacha says I could kill lice, but it seems to be based on erroneous scientific information. Based on what we know today, it's clearly erroneous. So how does Jewish law deal with this? Does Jewish law change? Do I say, okay, so now you're prohibited to kill lice? So we'll see. As always, there'll be different approaches to how we deal with the problem. So the first approach will be from the Pachad Yitzchak, was the Sefer, not Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who lived in the last, probably in the last 30, 40 years ago. I'm getting older, so I always have to make it longer. Like, I didn't realize, like, Rav Moshe passed away, like, in 1986. I was saying, like, 10 years ago. It's a lot more than 10 years ago. So Rav Huttner, I think, was even before, but I'm not even sure. But, I mean, you know, but he was around in the 70s, 80s. For me, you know, that's, like, the time I was growing up. So when you're born in the 60s, that's prime time. The Catskills, that was the heyday in the Catskills. So either way, but this is a different epoch. This is Rav Isaac Leprente. He wrote like an encyclopedic book called the Pachad Yitzchak. So he wants to say that no. He said, that's it. And hence it's prohibited to kill lice today. So he would say, Jewish law changes. If the facts change, the reality is different. Even though the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch might say it's mutter, today we find out new knowledge. That's it. He says it's usher to kill lice. However, many disagree with the Pachad Yitzchak and still say, even though we agree spontaneous. So if you want to take that approach, it's simple. You say, Jewish law changes, it's usher, and therefore you go with the flow. However, others want to point out that no, the halacha remains, but we still want to be true to science. How can we have it both ways? So let's go see. So this is the approach of Rev Dessler, and we'll see also the approach of Rev Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, two of the greats of the last generation. So what Rev Dessler writes as follows, is the Gemara in Chulin. He gives us his example. I think it was a wildcat. Do they have big claws? I don't know. But I think the Gemara says if a wildcat attacks another animal and it caused them, so it's called the drusa, which means the animal has a din of a trefa, meaning it's going to die within the year. See, we say, when we talk about non-kosher, we say colloquial trefa. But the real word means trefa. It has a hole in one of its vital organs and it's going to die within the year. You know, so that's, so it's still trefa, not kosher, but that's where the word comes from, is trefa. The din of trefa is with the animal. So he says, so the Gemara says you have a drusa. So what did the Gemara think? So why? Why specifically a wildcat? How come if some other animal does it? So the Gemara thought at that time, I guess, you know, based on the science of the time, he said, you know why? It's because there must be that they must let out some venom, and the venom goes into the animal and it poisons, then they're going to die. That's what they thought. That's what they thought at the time. So Rav Dessler points out, but we know that's not true anymore. Science has proven that wildcats don't secrete any venom. You know, maybe snakes do, I don't know, but wildcats don't. So what do you do with the Gemara then? So Rav Dessler says, no, the Gemara stays intact. In other words, we have a tradition that if a wildcat attacks another animal, it's a trefa. Okay, what do we do? Just like in the time of the Gemara. The Gemara, all the rabbis spoke to the science. Some rabbis were doctors themselves, and some, you speak to the scientists at the time to see what's going on. So he said, okay, so now I go back to the scientists. Tell me today, why do you think that's true? This is The law is not going to change. They have a din of a treifa. Could you come up with some scientific reason? So they said, yeah, I'll tell you why. Because you know why they become a treifa? Because the claws go in deeper than most animals, so the dirt goes deep down and it causes infections, and that's why the animal dies. So Rav Dessler wants to say is both want to take both aspects. Like Rav Isaac Laprenti said, no, that's it. If the scientists are wrong, then so that's it. We disregard the halacha. And in other words, he's assuming that the halacha is just based. You know, it wasn't a masorah. The halacha was based on the science of the time. Once the science of the time has changed, then if the rabbis would have known that, they never would have said it was mutton. So then we go with the reality. And Rav Dessler, he wants to fit in both. But no, that he wants to say, if the Gemara paskin something, they have a tradition. They're not just saying it just based on what they see. So therefore, so then we try to go into medical science. So medical science was wrong then. I'll speak to the top doctors today and I'll find out another reason. And then we try to figure it out that way. So along those lines, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to do regarding the question of lice. He says, like, what do you mean? He says, of course the rabbis knew. They didn't believe in spontaneous generation. They knew that lice came from eggs and all that kind of stuff. So the Gemara says, She'eino parah rava, and the Rambam seems to be saying it. So he says, no, I'll tell you what the pshat is. We know there's halacha, there's a big chiddush the Torah tells us. You're not allowed to eat bugs. What do I mean it's a big chiddush? Not because I would have eaten bugs if not, that's not what I mean. That, what do you mean? Because really the halacha is something which isn't fit to be eaten, doesn't have a din. If I eat, you know, something which isn't rai l'achila, something, and it's not kosher, it's only a rabbinical prohibition because I'm not eating a raw piece of meat or something I'm not getting. It's not considered achila. I mean, and therefore it's only also midrabanan. The chiddush of the Torah is, if you eat bugs, I still remember some Steve McQueen movie a long time ago when he was in jail eating the cockroaches. Anyone help me out? I have no idea what the movie was. And I might even be wrong about that. We'll have to speak to the scientist who made the Hollywood people. But either way, the point being is, like, it's not normal. Most normal people don't eat bugs. Maybe in certain cultures, societies, they do. Who knows? Or maybe if you're on that reality show, I think I've seen it, you have to eat a certain amount of bugs to win.
Florida? Yeah. Chocolate-covered ants?
That's what they do? They're actually chocolate-covered ants? It's real chocolate? Okay. So I guess if you put enough ketchup on, I guess it works. So maybe chocolate, yeah. But you know, I think I still wouldn't go for it, but okay. So the chiddush is, the Torah says that it's a biblical prohibition. Even though normally, if I eat something which isn't normally eaten, it's only rabbinical, the Torah tells me a special prohibition, you can't eat any crawling things. Okay, so what Rav Shlomo Zalman is, so let's say right now as I'm talking, I am swallowing many bugs. And not only me, I think all of you are. Anyone, it's in, we don't see them, they're microscopic. You know, you take out a microscope, all that stuff, you'll see all the bugs surrounding us, and we're going to be, so what am I, every second I'm over a biblical prohibition? So no. The assumption is the Torah gave the Torah to humans, not angels and not people, you know, not Superman, not people with X-ray vision. So the bottom line is, it's only a bug is only prohibited if I could see it with the naked eye. I'm not obligated. Of course, you have to know what you're looking for, and we could get into another discussion how much you have to check what's considered. But the principle is true that if it's not visible to the naked eye, then I could eat it. It's a kosher bug, in other words. So therefore, so that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying. No, of course the rabbis knew that lice come from eggs. What do you think? They didn't know the Aleph Beis? Of course, no one believes in spontaneous generation. But what it means is that they're so tiny that you can't see the eggs. So halachically speaking, which is our reality, we don't recognize them. They're not, even from a biological point, of course they came from eggs. But the Gemara says, "Eino parah rava," we don't view this. Since we can't see them, we don't recognize tiny bugs we could eat. We don't recognize them as halakhic bugs. So too, we don't recognize them. It's not that we didn't know lies. And that's why that's what the Gemara means. If that's the case, it's no different now. It's just revealing some, of course, the halakha is I'm allowed to kill lice because nothing's changed. They're tiny little things I can't see, and if I'm not obligated to worry about it, like Rav Schacht always says over a story, someone came to halacha by a tefillin, they have to be square. So a guy came over to Rav Schacht, you know, oh, is my tefillin square? You know, yeah, they look square to me, yeah. He says, no, they're not square. I'm a oral butcher, or some call them a dentist. And I deal with little fillings, little things all the time. I know they're not square. So we don't have to worry about you. You're like your eyes are like looking through a microscope. The Torah doesn't obligate me to take out a measuring stick. If to the human eye they look square, they're square. Or Moshe writes about the laws of Nida. If for whatever reason you can't see that it's red, the only way you can see something is red is because by using a microscope. So I'm not machur. That's not something. So that's what he says here. So that seems to be the approach of Rav Dessler, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman, in terms of that. No, that basically we accept the Gemara, but we also accept modern science. So we have to try to work out. We try to reconcile how they don't contradict. So according to Rav Pachad Yitzchak, so it is going to. There are conflicts, and therefore, we don't know what we're. It could be that Rav Shlomo Zalman would agree then, if you can come up with another, you know, in his case, in the case of the lives, the positive, you could say that's it, spontaneous generation, and therefore the law could change for the worse or for the better. It's us, or you're not allowed to kill lice. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's not what the Gemara means. You have to understand, of course, and like one last example, let's say, what bracha do you make on mushrooms? So I would have thought, anyone who doesn't know would tell me Bo'er Pi Adama, because they grow from the ground. Yet the Gemara tells us, no, you make a shahako. Because why? Because they don't get the nourishment. They get the nourishment from the air around and not from the ground. So if you speak to a scientist, they'll tell you, in fact, I spoke to one when I was doing this Gemara, he told me, what do you mean? They do get the nourishment from the ground. And I'll say, you're 100% right. But the halacha is saying that it only basis has to be based on a tradition, that it's true that they only get a minimal nutrition from the ground, and that's not significant in halakha. In other words, if the halakha is saying that you make a shahako on mushrooms, because it doesn't mean physically, of course they're in the ground, of course, but it means from whatever the halakha measuring, it doesn't reach the stage of a, and that's what the halakha is telling. But of course, I'm not denying reality. I know I guess, of course, today's a separate issue. They don't have to grow in the ground anymore with all this organic and all this, what do you call the other stuff? What's another, you know, where they grow? Well, you know, where they grow in pots and stuff. You don't grow them in the ground. It's a whole, like, science today. Whatever. What's the word I'm looking for? Either way, everyone.
Is it GMO?
No, they might not have GMO in it, but either way, it's all over Israel. I'm going blank, but either way, it's
hydroponics.
Yeah, hydroponics. Yeah, and Israel has it down. You know, they're even growing in the desert today. So that's the piazza. We'll have to continue. We'll have to continue with more examples of this and the more principles of that when science and Torah conflict. How do we deal with it? So we have the approach of Isaac Cohen. At least for lies, maybe. You know, of course, every case you have to take differently, and in terms of that, which we will. But grace regarding the lies of. The Pachad Yitzchak said, yeah, the halakha changed, you cannot kill lice anymore, but that seems to be a minority view. The majority opinion seems to go with Rav Shlomo Zalman and others, maybe based on different reasons, but the bottom line, halakha remains, you could kill lice on Shabbos, but either you come up with the new that of course it's not spontaneous generation, but you have to come up with another reason that fits in well with the science of the time.
There has to be a middle ground because things can go infinity science.